How young is too young to begin absorbing this technology, do you think, with young minds developing as they do?
Well, it's a very tough question, and it's clearly one which, if you like, the specialists and the experts have not really yet got a clear answer for. I guess one way of looking at it is that we do live now in a very rapidly changing media and IT-dominated world, so we can't now, if you like, prevent, insulate a lot of the younger kids, and I guess we're talking about 4, 5, or 6-year-olds from the technology. They will look at parents and families, you know, smartphones and tablets and so on. The key question is how to get them from a very young age, how to educate them and train them into using it properly and healthily and avoid what we might call the addictive problems later on, which, yes, clinicians are beginning to see at increasingly a younger age. It used to be your kind of teenagers, 14, 15, 16, that seemed to be developing problems with, quote, internet addiction. It does seem to be creeping downwards as younger people get exposed to this. But certainly, it's all about monitoring by the family, ensuring they have what we might call healthy media habits, so certainly not using it so long that they're not having regular meals, regular snacks, and absolutely not using it well into the evening, so it's beginning to affect their sleeping patterns.
Well, what actually is the definition of an addiction? How long is too long to be using this technology?
I'm afraid I'm going to say there isn't, again, a clear, hard and fast answer for this. The internet is not a unitary phenomenon. It's a medium. It's an infinitely expandable and malleable and changing medium. So you can be using the internet or really the World Wide Web for schooling, for entertainment, for business, for shopping, for social networking, and just for accessing things like videos and music online. So it's not just the time you're spending on it, because you could actually be spending all of your waking hours legitimately online by engaging in all of these things and still being productive. It's really about whether there is what we as clinicians would call a clinically significant impact in your day-to-day functioning. Things like sleep, going to school, of course, coming down for family dinners, affecting your homework, and so on. And those are what we might call the early warning signs, because we do know that the illness can, if it is an illness, the condition will progress over time in a lot of cases if it's not kind of picked up on at an early stage.
You just described a mental disorder,
yep.
But arguably some of this technology is dealing with social interaction. If they're not necessarily communicating with family members,
yep.
Aren't teenagers engaging socially and therefore developing their social skills via the web?
That's absolutely clear, that the web is a fantastic tool overall. All of us, young adults, children, and of course adults, use the web in amazingly empowering, enjoyable ways. But I again come back to that key criterion on, is it causing a clinically significant impact on your other functioning?
What's the impact of the technology on say, language development?
Yes, look, that's another really, really exciting area that's only begun to be kind of researched kind of in the past few years, the kind of field of neurolinguistics and the way that language obviously is learnt, as you indicate, whether we learn better from your kind of good old-fashioned, you know, 600-page textbook, you know, reading Shakespeare and Charles Dickens in a physical book, or whether the kind of very postmodern kind of interactive medium that kind of internet-based books and dictionaries can offer is a better way of learning. In my opinion, the jury's still out. It's not clear whether we actually learn better in a different medium. I think the real question is whether we learn differently, because the world clearly is different. We now do live it's now the age of information, as some people are calling it. So young people now do have to have different kind of skills and different ways of dealing with complex information very rapidly rather than kind of your good old-fashioned sit down and spend 3 hours reading a book or doing an experiment. The world, for many people anyway, working in it, is clearly a different place. So the question is, both to the public and obviously to researchers, is whether the internet and exposing young people, essentially their brains, to the world of the internet is actually training them in a better way, is equipping them better for the kind of very rapidly moving, information-driven, technology-driven world that they're almost certainly going to be looking at working in the next 10, 20 years. And obviously, technology does evolve so rapidly. The world may already move on. So the world of technology in 2030, say, when the current generation of young people enter the workforce, may be different in ways we can't even foresee nowadays. So my message is that, yes, we have to adapt to this world. The genie is out of the bottle for young people, if you like, but it's how we use the technology to optimize the good and obviously minimize the potential risks.